Lachim Aleph, Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph.
Come on, little question. I'm just trying to find it.
There we go. Pasuk Aleph. Ve'ebi Shemayim Shana Va'abal Meshana was 480 years since the Jewish people left Egypt, since they left Mitzrayim. So the Malbim points out that there's 480 years from when Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim until they build the Beis HaMikdash, and 480 years from now until the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. So we find a 480 years gap all the time, right? Between the, both, you know, from the beginning of Bnei Yisrael until they started building the first Beis HaMikdash, and from the building of the first Beis HaMikdash until the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Because the first Beis HaMikdash existed for 410 years. Then there was 70 years of exile. And then at the end of the 70 years, 410 plus 70 is 480. So at the end of the 70 years, they rebuilt the second temple. Second Beis HaMikdash. Right, so now we're talking 480 years after the Eilat Mitzrayim. B'shana Raviz B'chodesh Ziv V'chodesh Hasheni L'melech Shloim Al Yisrael. Right, so this is talking about the fourth year of his reign, Chodesh Ziv, which is Chodesh Iyar, which is the second Chodesh, because we start from Nisan. We start counting the months from Nisan. Second Chodesh is Chodesh Iyar. Ve'even Abayis LaHashem. He now begins to build the Beis HaMikdash. Ve'abayis HaShabana HaMelech Shloim LaHashem, Shishim Amo Arkoi, Ve'esrim Rachmoi, Ve'shloishim Amo. So let's see. We got a diagram over here. Our scroll was nice enough to
90 feet by 45 feet.
Okay, let's see.
So we can get an idea.
We've got like this.
That's an amma, I mean.
Yeah. So it says Shishim Amma Arkoi. It was 60 ammas long, meaning from here, from the entrance until the end of Kodesh Kodashim, that's 60 amas long. Yeah? All this is 60. It was 20 amas wide, meaning from this wall to this wall is 20 amas. Okay? Yeah, Arkady, you see? Okay, you'll have to sit a little closer in this chair because we're going to be looking at a lot of diagrams. Yeah, so again, we got 60 from this wall. This is the entrance to the Heichal, which is where they used to be makar the karbanis. See, this is the Mizbech HaKetores. This is the Lechem HaPanim. This is the Menorah. Right, so this is the Heichal, where the actual Avoda used to take place. So from here until here is 60. Yeah, from here to here is 40. And from, this is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the entrance to Kodesh HaKadoshim. So from the beginning of Kodesh HaKadoshim until here is 20. So Kodesh HaKadoshim was a full square. 20, 20, and 20 high, we'll see later on how high it was. So we got 60 across, 40 plus 20, and 20 across from here. Yeah?
But okay. This first 40, this is open. It's not, it's still, it's outside.
No,
it's closed. This is closed.
It's a building,
yeah.
It's building, but the sacrifice, I believe, was outside.
Right, yeah. True. Sacrifices were here. This is the Mizbeach.
And Mizbeach Ziv
was over here, yeah. Yeah, true. Yeah, this was outside, yeah. Correct. That is correct. So we got 60 over here, 20 over here, and 30 amas tall, which is, it's the height of about a five-story building. That's how tall the Beis HaMikdash was. Okay? Yeah, it's clear, it's good?
Alright.
Yeah? Alright, now. Let's see, Vayter. Ve'ulam al pnei ha'echal ha'bayis, esrim amo arkoi, al pnei roichav ha'bayis, eser ba'amo rochboi al pnei ha'bayis. So there was an entrance, right? You see, there was kind of like a hallway. This was the entrance to the Heichal. Yeah? Let's see if I have a pen here. Let me just use this pen. So this was the entrance to the Heichal, right?
What is Heichal?
The Heichal was this area. Okay. This is where the Mizbech HaKetores, the sensors, where they used to burn the censer, the good smell. Right? This is the lechem apanim, the bread.
Ah, table for bread.
Yeah, the table for bread, and this is the menorah. Yeah, so the inner avodah over here, only the kohanim were allowed to enter over here. Only the kohanim. So this was the entrance to the heichal, and this was the entrance to the kodesh hakodashim, the holy of holies, which is also called the dvir. We're going to see later on why it's called the dvir. Now, in order to enter in, you had kind of like a hallway. So you came in from here. These are the steps you used to come in. And there was this like very, very long corridor all across. You used to go through here. It was 20 amas wide. From here to here, it was 20. And 10 across. So you'd walk in 10 amas with like this like really long corridor. That was like in order to enter.
But this is only one entrance. There is no... entrance.
Yeah, there's only one entrance.
This is not entrance?
No, you didn't go in from here. I'm saying you could, but technically, but when they used to go in, they used to go in here from the steps. Yeah?
What's the purpose of going this way or that way? Say, so you're coming in, you want to go here,
why do they have such a long thing over here? That's a good question.
A porch, basically, wasn't it?
I mean, he could come in and take a walk over this or that.
Right.
And think what you're going to do. Figure you're going to walk in there, you're going straight through.
Right. But I don't know why they need such a long...
Okay. No, maybe it's kind of construction.
It's there for a purpose. It wasn't there for a purpose.
It's a purpose?
Everything is a purpose. Who's allowed in that quote corridor? Just Kohanim or?
Yeah.
No Levi in the corridor.
Right. Okay, so let's see.
Sorry.
No problem. So that was called the Ulam, like the hall. Let's see, Vayter Pasuk Dal, Vayas Labais Chaloinei Shkufim Atumim. So the house had windows, but however the windows were different than any other house. In every other house, typically you want as much sunlight as you can get, right? So in order to get as much sunlight as you can get, so you open it, it's very, very wide on the outer part, right? And very, very narrow, it's narrower as it gets in, like closer and, you know, to the, right?
It is, parker.
Right, exactly. It was exactly the opposite by the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Beis HaMikdash was, the Shekhinah would shine out to the world, and therefore...
It didn't need the light was there.
Right, the light was from inside, it came from within.
Light out and
exactly,
the light in.
Exactly, it was shining out, and therefore, it was exactly the opposite of what you would do in a regular, typical house. Veven al kira bais yitzia saviv eskira sabais saviv lehechal velazvir v'yas tzlois saviv. Okay, so there were these little chambers that were built around the wall. Here, let's take another look. I'll show you in the art scroll, and then I'll show you what it looked like over here, so you'll get a better idea. Where is it?
Is that picture over there a rendering that one's on the wall?
I don't know.
Let me take a quick peek.
So there were these little chambers all across. Yeah? You see, this was the wall. This was the wall of the Heichal, right, of the where the service took place. And then aligned with the wall were these little chambers. Yeah, all around.
So you could get in over here, right?
Yes, you can get it over here. Right.
The other one you had to walk
right.
Yeah,
so you had to go through these two in order to get the old. If you want to go, let's say, go to the ones in the back, you had to go through all of them all the way till they get to the back. There was only an entrance from here and from here.
There's a rendering on the wall there, a picture that someone that they made. You want to take it off the.
Yeah. That's fine, I have a picture over here.
All right.
So there were. Yeah, these are old chambers, yeah? There's five across here. Another five. One, two, three, four, five. And one, two, three. Yeah? Now, let's get a bit of a better picture so we can see it from the side.
What did they use these chambers for?
They used them to store all the equipment they needed for the Beis HaMikdash. Here, so you see over here, these were the chambers. There were three different floors. 1, 2, 3.
On the outside.
Yeah, on the outside, yeah. So you had, there were up 1, 2, 3, and 5 going all the way back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to the back. So there were 15 on this side. Another 15 on this side. And then there were another 8 in the behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So altogether, there were 38 chambers. Yeah, so it's clear how it was made. There's only one entrance. You have to go in from here. We'll see how you get to the top floors, right?
How big was each room?
Each room was not very big.
It's big enough to walk around.
It was just a few amas each one.
But chambers means between each chamber, there is wall or?
Yeah, there was a wall. Here, I'll show you.
What was the purpose of those rooms?
It was mainly to store all the equipment that was needed for the Beis HaMikdash.
Oh, okay.
So now that we saw that picture, we can get a better idea. So there was a wall. You see, there was a little wall, but there was also an entrance to go into the next chamber.
Yeah.
Right? There was like a little wall here, a little wall there, another entrance to go here, another entrance to go here. So there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then again 3 up. So 15 altogether, another 15 over here, or another 8 in the back. It was not very clear how they got to 8 in the back, because there were 3 here, but I guess there were like, 3, and then the second floor was also 3. The top floor must have been 2, not 3.
This chamber is written here.
Yeah, that's what the pasuk hey is describing. Yeah, you see pasuk hey, ve'even al kir habayis, on the wall of, meaning on the outer wall of the heichal, were these chambers. They were built on the outer, like on the outside of the wall. Right, it's a saviv es kir habayis. They're surrounding the walls of the house of the Beis HaMikdash. Saviv leheichal veladvir. They would surround both the heichal and the dvir, which is Kodesh HaKadoshim. We'll see later why it's called dvir. Vayas tzlo'ois saviv. Okay, so that's clear? Yeah, Arkady? By the end of this class, all of you are going to be certified architects.
But there is the rest about windows.
No, that's Pasuk Dalet.
Ah, the next one. Okay.
The next one, Pasuk Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now, the way Shlomo HaMelech built this wall, right? We're talking about the wall. This wall. The wall of the actual, the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Yeah?
Yeah, all right.
Now, he didn't want to use any kind of mortar or anything like that. He didn't want to use any like anything to connect it. He just wanted it to be pure stone. Now, if you build, again, we're talking about a 5-story building. It's pretty tall. Now, if you don't want to use any mortar or any metal or anything, how do you build, how do you support, right? There's no way to build such a tall wall. How do you support it? Right? So the way he built it was like this. He had a very, very wide base of made out of stone. Right? And that was the first floor of the chambers. Yeah? That whole, the whole first floor of the chambers was one solid stone. That was the base. And then the second floor, it was a bit narrower. The second floor of chambers was a bit narrower. And then the third floor was even narrower. Yeah,
so
that way it was built kind of like a,
on right. Each other.
Exactly. That way it didn't go straight up, right? It didn't go straight up. It was kind of like steps. It got wider as you got to the bottom. So according to that, it came out that every chamber, right, was a bit wider on the next floor. So the bottom chamber, the first floor, was narrow because that was the biggest stone, right? So the chamber was smaller. You went up to the second floor; it was a bit wider, right? Because
wider
yeah?
or narrower.
It was the second floor was a bit wider here.
All right,
so let's try it.
It's called in English. It's called a corbel, C O R B E L.
Okay, so this is the wall. Yeah? This was the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, right? So the chambers were on the outside of the wall, correct? Mm-hmm. So that means the chamber on the first floor was, right? So you've got, these are the chambers. Yeah? Okay? Yeah, so the wall was built like this, right? Because we wanted to support it. So the first chamber, the bottom floor, was a bit narrow. You go up to the second floor, you have a little more room, right?
Right.
The third floor, you even have more room, right?
How far away was the first one from here?
What, this wall?
This wall, no, when they started the wall.
Yeah.
On the bottom, how far away was it from here?
I'm not sure, I don't know how many amas was.
Because up here it gets bigger, far more.
Right.
Even though they're in a straight line, but it becomes bigger.
Yeah, yeah. So the pasuk is now going to explain. So look at pasuk vav. Hayitzia atachtoina, the bottom chamber, chamesh ba'amar rachba. Right. It was 5 amas from here to here. It's 5.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. You go up to the next one. Va'tichoina shesh ba'amos. Right.
Yeah, because it got bigger.
Top one was 6 because it got bigger.
Yeah.
The third floor was 7 amos from here to here. Yeah. So you had 5, 6, and 7. Yeah? Yeah, it's clear, Martin?
Yeah.
So, you know, as you look at this here, they built the outside wall first, or they built those chambers that it came out that
you're
way.
Going out.
I mean, he. This is built, right? The first part.
Right.
This is built like that. Yeah. Now, to get to the other chambers, you have to have an outside wall, which is this one here.
Right.
What is this
wall? This wall put up first, then they finished the rest of it?
No. They built this wall first,
yeah,
and then they built the chambers around. Because the way they would do it, they would support this beam of wood on the edge of this stone. Right? Because
okay.
This wall, again, you got to understand, this wall goes straight up.
Yeah.
And this is 5 stories tall. Right? How are you going to support a wall that's 5 stories tall without using any mortar, any metal of whatsoever? There's no metal at all used to connect the walls. So the only way to support it was if you have a cross beam going from here that's connected to this wall all the way to here. Yeah, and it would support on top of this, the edge over here. Exactly.
That was holding the wall.
Yeah.
The cross beam was holding the wall up.
Exactly. And then you had another cross beam over here that rested on this edge. Right? Because that way, this wall was supported because you had these cross beams. There was also the floor of the actual chamber.
So they weren't made out of stone.
They were made out of wood. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
What you have to do is show that this is the outside. It's a thick wall already.
So it's a thick wall, right?
And so, and
here again, let's take another look at the.
So is this? I'm not sure if I did that right, but all right.
Let's take another look at this. So you can't really see it from here because it was all covered, right? But the way they built this wall, then they would build the chambers, right? And you'd support the floor of these chambers on this wall, the wall of the actual Beis HaMikdash. Yeah?
No.
Can't really see it from here.
This wall here, was all that stone?
Yeah.
Yes, that was all stone.
Everything around here is stone,
yeah, that's
right?
All stone. That's all
and
stone.
Then this thing was resting on the stone.
Right, exactly.
You have,
exactly.
How are we going to draw it?
Exactly. Yeah.
You have a wall and you have.
Yeah, see, these were the chambers. These were the chambers on the side, on the outer wall of the Beis HaMikdash. And this wall was made out of stone. These were made out of wood.
What were the outer chambers for?
They were to store equipment needed for the Beis HaMikdash.
All right. So basically, yeah? You had a lint. There's the wall, and you have a tibba that's resting on a and a cutout in the stone,
mm-hmm.
and you got a timber here. And then they right. build on top of that.
Right.
So those chambers were there before the wall was put up. The outer wall.
No, the wall of the actual Beis HaMikdash was put up first.
No, I mean those. The other ones, the outside ones.
The chambers are probably this is
the one. And then you build up
this
and you keep
wall,
on going.
Yeah.
You can't build from the top
so
down.
So these were there before they put up this wall.
You have a hook
right.
there in
first, that was open.
Yeah.
Strong construction. Okay.
It's mm-hmm. built like
and
a house.
Wall,
you build
here it looks like
a
solid same room, but it's not the same.
And you put beams across.
The one, this, this
and
one,
the resting,
was
the beams
narrow,
are resting
and this
on the
narrow, and this
outside
one
wall.
Narrow. It looks like here it's all the same,
kind of
the same size.
Right, right. From the outside, they look all the same, but as you walked in, there were the, as you got to the upper floor, you had more room. Yeah? So again, Yitzhak, so the way they built the wall was...
Yeah, you got the right thing.
See,
right
this was the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't want to use any mortar or anything, so they built a wider base of stone on the bottom, narrower on the second floor, and even narrower on the third floor. So the chamber is on the outer floor. This is the chamber on the bottom floor. Yeah, and that was the smallest. You went up to the second floor, it's a bit larger, because you had the floor of it would rest on the edge of this. Yeah, and the top floor had the most room. This had 5 amma, this had 6 ammas, and this had 7 ammas.
Do we know what an amma is?
Amma is about a foot. Yeah, they weren't very large.
Just an amma, a cube.
Yeah, but, you know, from 18, here to here.
18 inches.
Yeah,
18
whatever,
to 20
yeah.
inches. Huh?
A bit more than a foot.
Alright.
Okay. So that's Pasuk Vav. Right, so let's just read it inside. Now that we understand how it's built, let's read it inside. Right, the bottom chamber was 5 amas, rachba, 5 amas wide. Right, the middle floor was 6 amas wide. The third floor, the top floor, was 7 amas wide. He had, so to speak, shelves or whatever you want to call it, where it would the floor would rest on the edge of that stone. Nasan labais saviv chutza bevilti achas bekiras abais. Right, so every floor was resting on the edge of the stone. Yeah. Now the way you would enter. Again, there was only one entrance from each side. So the way you would get to the top floor was there were spiral stairs,
staircase.
A spiral staircase that went up to the second floor, and a spiral staircase that went up to the third floor. That's how you would get to from one floor to the next.
The reason why you had to have spiral stairs, not straight stairs.
Yeah, because
there's not much room. Think about it. Each one was about 5 amas and 5 amas, right? Pretty small room. Not much room to get to the next. The whole thing was 5 stories tall, which is pretty tall, right? And it was only 3 levels.
You can't get.
How to get to the next floor? You come with the ladder.
No spiral.
There's spiral stairs.
This one.
Yeah. Stairs that go like that.
You get a post and it goes around.
Well, it's the same as bank and field monument.
So you see all those.
Yeah, if you made stairs, you'd have to go up this way.
Yeah.
Then you'd have to have a landing.
Those
go
three
up again.
Rooms were just storage.
This is just
to make smaller space.
Just for storage.
The stair is a stair is narrower in the middle, and then it widens out.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Weiter Pasuk Zayin. V'abayis b'ibonois li'evan shlema masa nivna. Bais was built out of pure stone. Makovais vagarzin kol klivarzel lenishma b'bais beibonaisle. You would not hear any hammers, any nails, any chisels, nothing. You wouldn't hear any noise while the Beis HaMikdash was built. Now, we explained before that it wasn't honorable for the Beis Hamikdash to look like and sound like a construction site. Right? You didn't want to have like any like heavy drills or like banging or anything. It wasn't honorable for the Beis Hamikdash. So according to one pshat, they used to build the whole Beis Hamikdash. Everything was brought in completely ready. It was brought in ready, and that's and they all they had to do is place it, put it in place.
They put it together.
Put it together like Lego. Yeah, kind of thing.
It's like a puzzle.
Yeah. Kind of like a puzzle. According to another pshat, it says in Shmois, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says that the Beis Hamikdash is not allowed to be built out of any, using any metal utensil, any metal tool. Now, how are you supposed to carve these huge stones without using any metal? Right? Good question. So it said the Shlomo Melech called in the Chachamim, Chazal, and he asked them, how am I supposed to build a Beis Hamikdash not using any metal? They told him, listen, Moshe Rabbeinu had a very unique technique in order to cut the precious stones that were put into the Choshen, the breastplate
yeah,
of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And he would use what's called Telat HaShamir, a special worm. That's what it's translated. Telas in Hebrew means worm. Special worm, it's not clear if it's an actual worm or if it's some kind of a substance that was able to cut through literally anything. It was kept in a box made out of lead, because lead apparently was the only substance it was not able to cut through. And Shlomo HaMelech asked the Chachamim, he asked the sages, how am I supposed to reach, how am I supposed to get this special worm, or this special substance? So the Radak says, he brings down a medrash that he called the Nesher, he called the eagle, and the eagle brought it to him from Gan Eden. That's one pshat. Another pshat, the Gemara says that Shlomo HaMelech called in, they told him the only way to get it, the only person, or I don't know if you want to call him a person, the only creature who knows where this Telat HaShamir is Ashmedai, the king of the demons. He's the only one who knows where this worm is. So he calls over his general, Benayahu ben Yehoyada, and he tells the general, get me Ashmedai, the king of the demons.
And he had to trap him.
He had to trap him. The Gemara goes through a whole long story of exactly how he trapped him.
He caught him and then forced him away.
He got him.
He said that that thing lived in the Garden of Eden. He had to go. He had to fly in there, get him from, and then bring him over there.
Right. In any case, Benayahu ben Yehoyada brings in Ashmedai in cuffs, handcuffs made it out of copper. Apparently, copper. Well, everyone has their weak point. Copper. He couldn't break copper for whatever reason. And he brings in this demon, and the demon says he gets him to reveal the how to get the special worm, the Telat HaShamir, and that's how he's able to use it for the Beis Hamikdash. Now it says that he captured Ashmedai and he kept him locked up. The only reason he was able to control him was because he had a special ring. The special ring had the Shema Mefarash in it. It had the a very unique name of Hashem and carved in the ring, and that's how he was able to control the king of the demons, Ashmedai. So Ashmedai would obviously try to get out, and it says that Ashmedai always, he would provoke him. He would try to get him to let him out, and he told him, "Listen, let me see that ring, right? Let me see that ring." And at first, Shlomo refused to show it to him, but then he told him, "Yeah, you're not so smart. You're not so wise. All your wisdom comes from this ring. If you didn't have this ring, you wouldn't be that smart." So Shlomo HaMelech says, "Oh yeah, I'll show you the ring." So he takes off the ring, and it says that Ashmedai swallowed the ring and he threw it into the ocean, and that's how he was able to control Shlomo. He disguised himself as Shlomo, and he apparently changed the image of Shlomo. He changed the way he looked. He kicked him out, and Ashmedai became the king. Everyone thought he was Shlomo. And Shlomo, the real king, was going around from city to city telling everyone that I am Shlomo, and everyone treated him as the crazy people that hang out at the coastal, saying that they're Mashiach, they're David HaMelech. Like, yeah, right, you're Shlomo, yeah. Of course, the Shlomo's sitting in his palace. What are you talking about, right? So they used to laugh at him, they used to run away from him, and he spent many years like that, unfortunately. And until he came to one city, and he was so hungry, he finally bought one of the fish that the fisherman was selling over there. And he, before he ate the fish, he opened up the fish, and inside the fish he found the ring. And that's how he was able to regain control over his throne, and he became the king once more. He kicked Ashmedai out, and everyone knew that he was the king. According to some Shatim, all the sins that are attributed to Shlomo, the king, are all sins that not Shlomo did, rather sins that were done by Ashmedai, the king of the demons. Everyone thought he was Shlomo, but he was really someone else. It says one of the ways that they were able to find out that he was not really Shlomo was the sages actually saw a few things that were a bit fishy about Shlomo, who they thought was Shlomo, and they said the only way to know the truth is if you ask his wives. So they called over his wives. Remember, he had 1,000 wives. I don't know if at that point he had 1,000, but eventually he did. They called his wives, and they said, is there anything suspicious about his behavior? And they said, yes, there is. He calls us over to be with him during the time when we're nida, when we're impure, during the time where we have our period. That's the time that he calls us to be with him. And clearly they knew, the sages knew, that was a clear sign that he was not, in fact, Shlomo. Rather, he was the king of the demons, and he, so to speak, again, we're getting more into mysticism, but he was able to take power through the impurity of these women, through being with them while they were in the state of impurity. That's how he was able to get power, because, again, he was not, this is not real power, it's not divine power, it's more power that's taken from the side of tumah, of impurity, so to speak, the evil side, right? What's called in Kabbalistic terms, the sitra achra, the other side, right? The negative side, the dark side, so to speak. And they were able to. He was able to gain power through being with these women in their state of impurity.
Well, they could find out that that he's not Shlomo.
Right.
How do they know he's the king of the demons, though?
They didn't. But when Shlomo came back, that's how they knew that
he was. But Shlomo, actually, real Shlomo has exceptional wisdom. How about Jesus? He shows the same wisdom.
He did have exceptional wisdom, but Ashmedai was able to trick him.
No, but wisdom,
Ashmedai was not a person.
Wisdom is something is not everybody has.
Good question. Okay, gentlemen, we'll have to stop here.
The ring.
It's time for Marv.